Today we're going to study a character in the New Testament. And from the life of this person, I'm hoping and praying that we will all learn a practical lesson in our life. This person is not a famous character in the New Testament. When you speak about a person in the New Testament, you think of Paul, you think of Peter, think of big names like this. But actually, we are going to study a person called Demas. I pronounce him that way. You probably pronounce differently. But Demas is a person who is mentioned in the Bible only 3 times. But I think we need to learn a very practical lesson, because the aim of people of God gathering together like this now is to learn something and practice it. And this is my prayer really for myself and for you. So Demas was mentioned, as I said, 3 times in the Bible, but unfortunately in regression, if you like. First time the Apostle Paul wrote from the prison to Philemon, Paul listed Demas along with Mark and Luke as one of his fellow laborers. Imagine a title like this. Demas was a fellow laborer of the Apostle Paul himself. That's a great post. That's something wonderful. He working with Paul for the ministry of the Lord, even in difficult times in the prison when Paul was under arrest in Rome. And he's mentioned among 2 other great men, Mark, who was really a great person, who persevered despite the failure earlier in his life. He continued to serve the Lord. And actually, Mark started the Christian faith in the Middle East, in Egypt. So I'm very proud of Mark. He started Christianity in Alexandria. And Luke, the doctor, who really followed Paul in his journeys and wrote this wonderful Gospel of Luke, and again the book of Acts. So that's a very good report about Demas. But then, when Paul was writing to the Colossians, he said, then he was simply called Demas as he was sending his greetings to the church in Colossae. Just Demas. He's not a laborer anymore, but he's just Demas. But the third one is the sad one. Paul wrote in his second letter to Timothy, that's the last letter that Paul have ever written, that Demas has forsaken me because he loved this present world. And this is our topic today, loving the present world. This is a disease can infiltrate our life very easy as Christians. We are not talking to non-Christians here. We're talking to people who tasted the Lord, who are walking with the Lord, but then the love of world creeps on our life and distorted this life, as we saw in the life of Demas. That's why the Apostle John mentioned these wonderful words that I'm sure you are familiar with. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world is the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he has and does. And he will continue. So when he says, don't love the world or anything in the world, we will define the world very quickly, because it's important to understand he doesn't talk about the wonderful creation of God that we should enjoy and rejoice in. He doesn't talk about having a day out at Loch Lomond. That's brilliant. You have to love that. There's nothing wrong with that. But what he's talking about here is the system that's opposing God. And he defined that very clearly. He's saying this world is the craving of the sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he has and does. Comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. And the Apostle John is giving the reason why Christians shouldn't love the world. Because the world is passing away, and those who do the will of God will last forever. There are 4 reasons for Christians not to love the world. And the first one, because of what the world is. The world is a system that's opposing God. And if we follow Jesus, we can't align ourselves with a system who is opposing God. The second reason, because of what the world does to us. The world really hates us and destroys us and destroys our walk with the Lord. Because of what the Christian is. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus, so we cannot really align ourselves with a system which is opposing God. And this is a dilemma that we sometimes fall in as Christians. We love the world, we love the system of the world, and we would like to follow Jesus, and we have a conflict in our lives because of where the world is going. The world is going to disappear and to be judged. So let us go through these four reasons why we shouldn't love the world, as Demas did. He was a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. He was just only Demas, and then he left Paul because he loved the present world. So, because of what the world is. The word world has three different meanings, and it's very important to understand this, because we will be able to understand the command not to love the world. It is used as the physical world, the earth that God created. And for that, we should love the earth that God created. We should care for it. We should be very sensitive to the needs of the earth and the needs of the people around us. We have to love this world, the physical world that God has created. Yes, it is a fallen world because God created perfect. And because of the sin of Adam and Eve, sin entered into the world and the curse came upon the earth. And we are all struggling because of that, because there is illness and disease and suffering because of this. But the Apostle Paul describes that in Romans chapter 8, saying the creation is groaning, awaiting the revelations of the sons of God. So the creation was subjected to the curse, not because of its will, but because of one who subjected it, the disobedience of Adam and Eve. So the physical world we should love and respect. The other meaning of this world, the world, can mean the humankind. And again, we should love the humankind because they are made on the image of God. And we should respect them, and we should help them, and we should guide them to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will be our aim. Even people who are really difficult, people whom we don't like naturally, but we should love them. But the third meaning is that one that we need to concentrate upon. This is the system that opposes God. That's the fallen nature. So we don't love the fallen nature that's in us, which can cause trouble in our life from time to time, as it did to Demas. A Christian is a member of a human world, because we are all here as human, created by God, and he lives in the physical world, and that's where we live, but he does not belong to the fallen world which opposes the will of God. And we should understand that clearly. I remember my dad used to explain that to me, saying, the ship is in the water, but the water is not in the ship. Because if the water is in the ship, it will sink. So yes, the Christian in the physical world, surrounded by all the different things that goes on the world, but we don't belong to this place. We don't belong to earth. We have a heavenly direction and a heavenly address. And we should keep that in mind, because Demas didn't, and as a result, he had a problem. The second reason is because of what the world does to us. The world, as the fallen system against God, is really opposing us and trying to make us disobey God. The Apostle John was very clear. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is really very sharp cut situation. He's saying, if you love the world, the system that's opposing God, the love of the Father is not in you. You can't combine both. And our dilemma or our trial usually in our life is to try to combine both. I walk with God, but I walk with the world at the same time. And that creates a big conflict, really, in our life. And we will never progress. That's why I felt this message is very practical, and I need to examine myself. And please do examine yourself as well. Do we love, did we allow the love of the world to infiltrate into our life somehow? And as a result, we are not excited about our Christian walk. We are not really delighted in walking with God in the light. Is this happening? As I said, this address was to Christians, and we have to be careful. Words is not so much a matter of activity, it's a matter of attitude. Sometimes say, okay, I don't do anything wrong, majorly wrong, really. I'm just walking with the Lord, but I'm not excited because the love of the world really started to be heavy on my heart. So it is an attitude rather than action. Even if you don't do major deviation from the Christian walk, but still, the attitude in the heart is in trouble because the love of the world is infiltrating our lives. If the Christian loves the system that's opposing God, the world, the love of the Father is not in him or her. Worldliness affects response to the will of God. The world passes away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. You find that the Apostle John, when he mentioned the love of the world, he then moved quickly to the will of God and saying, if you love the world, you cannot fulfill the will of God. And I think that the aim of the Christian is to find the will of God for him or her and live it. That will be the most exciting and enjoyable life to live. When we put these two factors together, we have a practical definition of worldliness, and that's it. It's anything, and I leave this word anything, and you put what you like under this. Anything in a Christian life that causes him to lose his enjoyment of the Father's love or his desire to be the Father's will, that's worldly. So people, when they read the Bible, they don't find the list of do and don'ts. There's nothing like that. But it's the Spirit of God guiding us. And anything that deviates us from the will of God and the love of God is worldly. It could be a magazine you are reading. It could be a television program you are watching. It could be a hobby that you are involved in. I don't know. And it's not my job to know. But you will know yourself about this anything that makes you deviate from the will of God and the love of God. And is different from one person to another. But the aim now is to try to get rid of that so we can follow God and enjoy our relationship with him. John points out that the world system uses three devices to trap the Christians. And this is the same devices that Satan used with Eve. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. These are difficult, huh? Because these things touch our life day by day. We have these things in our body, and we have this challenge before us every day. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So these are the same devices that Satan used with Eve. So let us see this very famous event in the Bible. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. She has many trees in the garden, many, many, many trees, and she can enjoy all of them. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God said, don't eat from it, because if you eat from it, dying you will die. There is no doubt that you'll be separated from me. But at one point, when Satan attacked Eve, she looked at the tree, and she was in different light. It became good for food. But there are other food in the garden you can enjoy. But she didn't. So that's the lust of the flesh. It was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes. Yes, I'd like this. It is good. It's attractive. It's something I desire to have. And then the tree desire to make one wise, the pride of life. I'd like to be wise. I'd like to be better. I'd like to be bigger in the world. I'd like people to know about me. This is the pride of life. Do we have these elements fighting against us today? Yes. And a big yes, if we are honest. And we need really to learn, when we come together to read the Word of God, that we shouldn't love the world, because if we love the world, the will of God is not in us. Worldliness creeps in us, really, in a gradual process. I will not be one day in the will of God and tomorrow completely in the world. It's usually a gradual decline, and that is the problem. It's a gradual decline. Look at the life of Lot. We know the story of Lot, that he was the nephew of Abraham, and there was lots of herds coming, and as a result there was fight between the herdmen of Abraham and Lot, and Abraham, being the uncle, gave the choice to Lot and said, choose for yourself. If you go south, I'll go north. If you go east, I'll go west. And Lot looked at the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was economically sound, actually. It was fertile land. And there is nothing wrong with taking good decisions. And he went, and the Bible says the people in Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked in the eyes of the Lord greatly. He said, that doesn't matter. I can manage that. If I'm economically sound, I'll be okay. And he went, and it was a catastrophe, as we all know the story. But let us see what the Bible says about this. First, Lot looked towards Sodom. It is a possibility now. He looked toward it, towards Sodom, the world, the system that is opposing God. He looked at it and said, okay, I can manage that, because there are some financial gain ongoing on there. After he looked, he took an action. Then he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He's not there yet, but he just put the tent towards Sodom. The direction now is to the world, the system that's opposing God. And then he moved into Sodom. And it will be hard to take him out of Sodom. But Sodom is a place of judgment, and God judged this place. So we have to be very careful in our decisions, because as we said earlier, it's an attitude of heart, attitude of mind. Loving the world is something inside, which manifests itself later on in actions in our lives. The third reason we shouldn't love the world, because of what a Christian is. And I think that's very important, because when we trust Christ, we become partakers of divine nature. Imagine that. You and me, only human beings, when we trust Christ, we are partakers of the divine nature. The Spirit of God seals you and me if we accepted Christ, and He dwells in you. Almighty God, that the heaven is not enough for Him, can dwell in a person like yourself and mine. I think that's amazing. So that is the conversion. That's when we accept Christ, we become different. We become people of God, and He lives in us. You remember when Solomon built the temple, and he was dedicating the temple. It's a wonderful prayer. And he said, Lord, the heavens are not enough for you. So this little place is not really enough for your presence. But the glory of God filled the whole place. Even the priests will not be able to minister because of the presence of God. So when you become a Christian, when you accept Christ as your own Savior, then the glory of God comes upon you. And is that shining? Is that showing to other people? Or the love of the world is suppressing this glory? This is the challenge, really, that I would like to share with you. A Christian has both the old nature, the flesh, because we are born in Adam and we inherited the fallen nature of Adam. And when we accept Christ, the fallen nature is still with us. But we have to suppress that. And we live by the Spirit, so we'll fulfill the will of God. So there is a new nature, and that is the Spirit living in us. And there is a fight between the two. Again, I'd like to go back to an example that my dad gave me years and years ago. He said the old nature and the new nature is like bringing an eagle and a dog and tie them in a big rope. So if you feed the eagle, there will be no problem. He can carry the dog and fly, and there will be no problem. If you feed the dog and starve the eagle, the dog will be strong enough to bring this eagle down on the dust. And this picture stayed with me really for years and years. The fight between the old and the new, between the eagle and the dog. When I grew up, I said, okay, what happens if I feed both? Do you know what will happen? There will be tension on the rope, that's all. Both will be fighting against each other with the strength of an eagle and the strength of a dog, and there will be tension in the Christian life. This really explains the life that Demas lived. Because he loved the present world, the system that's opposing God. Really, it's a very vivid picture in my mind, and I hope it is clear in yours, because this is the fight that we need to fight for the Lord. Number four, because of where the world is going. The Apostle John was very clear that the world will go away. It will not stay forever. The world is passing away. We don't see that. And we sometimes just look at the world that this is permanent. This is where we'd like to be all the time. The world is passing away. This is a temporary part of God's plan. The world is passing away. Don't put all your hopes and plans in this world, because it is passing away. The Word of God does tell us that clearly. Imagine if somebody is building a villa or a palace or whatever in an area where he knows that this is a volcanic area. Do you think that's a good investment? I don't think so. because at any time this area will erupt and the whole thing will disappear. So the world is passing away, and we should have that clear in our mind, because Satan tries to tell us this is what it is all about. Make yourself high in the world as much as you can. No, the answer is no, because the world is passing away. Spiritual Christians keep themselves loosely attached to this world because they live to something far better. Are we really loosely attached to the world, or are our hopes and plans are digging deep into the world? By the way, there is nothing wrong with having hopes and plans and ambition to achieve things in your life. Whatever the Lord puts in your heart, do that full-heartedly and try to achieve as much as the Lord has given you to achieve for the glory of God, not for the pride of the flesh, not for the lust of the eye, not for the selfishness, but for God. So the world is passing away, and we have to be loosely attached to it. We are strangers and pilgrims on earth, and that is very important. Abraham was a very successful businessman in his time, but he was loosely attached to the world. He lived in the tent, and tents comes in different sizes and shapes. Some of them are small and tatty, others are strong, but they are temporary accommodation. The tent is a temporary accommodation. It is not permanent. And this is the life of faith, really. He moved with the tent from one place to another according to God's will. And every place he landed, he built an altar to the Lord. So the tent and the altar summarizes the life of a victorious Christian. It is not a permanent dwelling. And he was able to see the city that God has prepared, and he was able to greet it, and he was able to say, yes, I belong to the day of Christ. A Christian who loves the world will never have peace or security because he has linked his life with which is a state of decay. So the world, as we said, is under the curse, and it is decaying. So if I attach my life to a decaying structure, definitely I will not have an enjoyable life, because that is really what is the world is. The will of God is not something that we consult occasionally like encyclopedia, and I like that, because yes, we love to know the will of God, but God is not explaining his will for the curious, just for curiosity. I'll just see what God wants in my life. If I like it, I'll do it. If not, no harm done. I just got the consultation and I'll go away. The will of God is something essential in the Christian life. And the Apostle Paul was saying, I will pray for a church to be standing firm in the will of God. So it is not a mysterious thing that we never know and we will keep searching all our life. No, the will of God is our holiness. The will of God is to serve him. The will of God is to live for him. And that is declared clearly. Yes, there is a special will of God in each life here sitting in this room. I agree. And you have to come to God and ask him to reveal his personal will for you, where to be and what to do for him. But it is not like, as I said, encyclopedia. You just put it on the shelf and go to it if you're struggling, just for a little information, and just back again, gathering dust, and continue your life. It is something which completely controls our lives. So in order not to love the world, we need the will of God to control us. That's the practical application now. I cannot fight the world. It's too strong. Satan is too clever. But we are victorious in Christ Jesus. In order not to love the world, I need another control in my life. And this new control is the will of God. After we know the will of God, we should do it from all our hearts. So as I said, it's not just an information to be built in my mind. It is an action which I need to act upon. How do I know the will of God? The more I obey, the more he will declare it to me. The more I speak to him, he will show me the next step. He's not giving me the 5-year plan or the 10-year plan. He doesn't do that, because this is not the life of faith. The life of faith is step by step by step. Obedience leads to another obedience, leads to another obedience. I wish if that happens all the time in my life. It doesn't. What happens when we resist the will of God? In His gracious love for us, He redirects us. He reroutes. But if we keep resisting and resisting, we waste lots of time. You know, when you use your navigator, the satellite navigator, and you say, take right, and they take left, he's busy finding another route. But it comes to a stage, you say, turn back. It's not working. You have to go back to point A again, to start again. I don't know where are you in your journey with the will of God. As I say, it's not my job to know. But you will know exactly where are you in the will of God compared to the love of the world. Because these are the two forces that's working on our life. One trying to destroy us and take us from the will of God. The other one is to be dedicated to God. The heart and the attitude is towards God. And then follow Him. God's goal for us is that when we will stand complete in all the will of God. Wow, can you see this verse? It's not just to have an idea about the will of God in your life. It is to stand complete in all the will of God. I think this is a very practical, probably difficult lesson for us today. But at the same time, I think it's very important because it redirects our lives again to the right path so we can fulfill God's will in our life. So we'll not waste our days. We will appreciate every day that God gives to us and used for His glory. This means to be mature in God's will. It's not just something you know a bit about. You know Him and you know His will. And you follow His ways. And that's really how we should conduct our Christian life. So I think the Mass has taught us lots of things. He told us that if you live for God, you really have to be concentrating on His will in your life. So, in summary, Christian is in the world physically. And we thank God for that. We are in the world physically, and we should be. And we should be engaging with people around us. But He is not of the world spiritually. We are not belonging to the world. We have different standards. We have different goals. We have different direction. We don't belong to this world. Christ has sent us into the world to bear witness to Him. And that's important. So we are in the world. We are not of the world. We have a mission in this world, in this decaying world. We have to communicate God's love and forgiveness to others. So we are invited to be in the world to do that. But sometimes we have a problem with this area because some people put themselves in difficult situations hoping that they will be able to preach the gospel. Some people say, oh, I'll go to a nightclub to preach the gospel. That's a great motive and that's great. But sometimes when they go, they are distracted and pulled down and the love of the world infiltrates them and they lose their witness. Sometimes witnessing can be by separation, not by engagement. Like the life of Abraham, he was more effective in interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah than Lot, who was one of the prominent people in the city. And unfortunately, he interceded to find even 10 people and righteous people in the city. He couldn't. But he was the righteous one interceding from outside. So be careful when you take the gospel to other people. You have to be strong enough, you have to be in the will of God, and you have to be able to communicate that without being contaminated by the world. I hope the Mass spoke to us through the Word of God today to tell us, don't love the world, it's not worth it. Really, it's not worth it. The world is passing away. The will of God will stand forever. And as I said earlier, the joy of a Christian is to find the will of God and follow it.